This is the Tom Likas Show.
Drug dealing, hookers, and loud music.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No shit, it's retarded.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our program, this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do it every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And this week we are joined for our bonus hour by criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks for coming in. Always good to have you.
Thanks, Tom. Always great to be here.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, I was thinking about, since, you know, we don't have any limits on what we can talk about here, and you've been doing topics that were absolutely pushing the envelope that the radio would never have allowed, I thought I would do the same. So I want to talk tonight about rape. How's that?
All right.
Gary's already making faces at me, Tom. Now, rape is obviously a crime, very serious, and there's a whole industry that's sort of built around it that wants to say that this is something that happens to women all the time, that a woman is raped every 30 seconds or every 60 seconds in the United States. And the new phraseology is that we have a rape culture. And this is something that really needs to be analyzed, because where the rubber meets the road, basically guys are being accused of raping women. Now, I think that there is a world of people out there, particularly, you know, heavy-duty, hardcore feminist women that want to suggest that, you know, this is like this out-of-control situation. There have been, for example, a lot of coverage lately on these, in typically Florida, where these spring breakers go and so forth, like Panama City, and these kids are supposed to be drunk and wild and out of control, and girls are getting, you know, completely taken advantage of, and all these people are getting raped and all this kind of stuff. You know, there are real statistics that show that actually in America, more men get raped than women, because guys are very vulnerable to getting victimized when they're particularly in jail. But leaving that aside, you know, do we really live in a rape culture? And is every, you know, particularly young guy, like, you know, ready to rape a woman at any moment? And the truth is I don't think so. I think that most guys are fairly decent, and they know that you're not supposed to do things to a woman without her consent and so forth. If you're having sex with a woman and she's unconscious or, you know, drunk beyond drunk, that's probably not a very good idea. You don't necessarily have her consent. There are some arguments that if a woman has sex after she's been drinking, that that's automatically rape because she couldn't have given meaningful consent. Now, no one ever talks the opposite about the guy who may also be drunk. Apparently, that's not a big issue. There was a law professor some years ago who postulated that essentially all sex was rape. And one of the things that they've tried to do is sort of increase the definition. People always think about, you know, stranger rape, which is sort of like, you imagine, I think, you know, kind of this man jumps out from behind a bush and grabs a woman and, you know, has his way with her, you know, between people that don't know one another. But then you have obviously what they started to bring up a lot when I was growing up, which was date rape, which was where, you know, the guy makes the woman do it, or she doesn't want to, but she knows him, or someone that works together or whatever. And basically, in order to kind of keep these rape statistics, and we talked about the DUI industry, where you have DUI classes and all that. Well, there's also a lot of these sorts of things, too, in this context. One of the ideas, not only of rape, but also related, is sexual harassment. And, Tom, you always talked about this, these videos that you have to go see and these seminars at work. They take someone that, you know, is just sort of innocent or talking about something that he saw or whatever with what he thinks are colleagues, you know, one of them's a woman or whatever, and she goes to the HR department and gets him in a lot of trouble for her sexual harassment. And I've been amazed because I've had very professional conversations with other lawyers that were women or with psychologists. I was talking to a psychologist on one of my cases, and you know, she was representing the other side, so we weren't like friends or whatever, but she has to talk to me. And in court, I was talking to her, and all of a sudden she started shrieking that I was sexually harassing her, which is just unbelievable. I mean, she just started yelling at me, "You're harassing me, you're sexually harassing me." And it's like, what? And, you know, that's meant to put us guys on the defensive, but it's also a serious offense. And nowadays, you know, people lose their jobs for these sorts of things. It's not something that should be thrown around casually. And, you know, you sort of think of in the history of, you know, life or whatever, that, you know, in the past especially, a woman would accuse a man of rape falsely. I kind of harken back to the plantation days in the South or whatever, where a young woman would say that one of the black slaves or whatever had, you know, raped her or tried to rape her. And, I mean, you know, they would get lynched right away. And that's not a joke. And it's a very serious thing that goes on. And there seems to be something that's meant to sort of degrade the wording. So in other words, okay, we agree, if a woman gets raped, the guy should be punished. But then, you know, we talk about this thing where it's this dramatic sort of grab her and make her have sex, and you could have notch it down a few notches to, you know, making a dirty joke or upsetting a woman or, you know, being on a date with her. There's like a misunderstanding, you know, the guy thought it was okay to fool around with her and she actually didn't want to, or she changed her mind afterwards, which is always a big problem. You know, a lot of times a woman, I think, wakes up in the morning and regrets what she did. Sort of sobers up, and then she sort of does a reevaluation and starts thinking, you know, I didn't really want to do that. That wasn't really consented, and starts, you know, going down that road. And what's happened recently, you know, when I was in college, there was this big thing, what they called no means no, which was that, you know, when a woman says no, it's no. And as any guy knows, generally, particularly American type of woman, in order to save face, never wants to admit that she wants to do anything. So, you know, before you get to yes, she almost feels obligated to tell you no a couple of times. So, you know, if a woman just says no once and you, you know, stop, that sort of throws everything off in that sort of thinking. And what they talk about today, which is even more out of this world, is yes means yes, which is something that's now being accepted at like the campuses of colleges and so forth, which is literally that as you progress in the act of fooling around and sex and whatnot, at each point when you start doing the next thing, you're supposed to verbally get the woman's consent, literally. So it's okay to take your shirt off. Yes, it is. Take the shirt off. Okay. Is it okay if I touch you on the arm? Yes, it is. Okay. And they start touching her on the arm. I mean, literally supposed to go through everything. And you see the impracticality of all these things, and you see all the confusion.
Well, here's the other thing, Adam. How could anyone ever prove that you did get consent?
That's right.
Let's say you asked at every step of the way, can I do this? Can I do that? If she decides to say you raped her, none of that's going to matter.
Yeah. I think you'd have to get a sheet of paper, Tom, and you'd have to list all the body parts and get her to initial, you know, each time she says yes. So.
Yeah, exactly. Or you just have to do a surreptitious video of the event.
Now, that's a fascinating thought. You know, I was really surprised by this, Tom. I was able to find these pens that record video and audio surreptitiously for less than $20 on eBay. I thought this was hundreds of dollars, and it's not. It's about $15 or $20, which you put it in your pocket, and it just records everything. But, I mean, I think that's an invasion of privacy from a whole different point of view.
Is it? Wait, then let's talk about that for a second. Is that legal or illegal, or is it a gray area?
That's a gray area.
Right.
I think a woman would be pretty upset if she found out you recorded her, you know?
Well, she might be upset, but, you know, we've got people now with dash cams. We've got people filming what the police are doing. If you can do that, why can't you videotape yourself getting consent and then having sex with someone?
Right. Well, like I said, it's not too expensive to get the hardware to do it. I have to say, when you look at the situation, it's very, very predatory. And there's sort of even words that they use. It's kind of interesting. It's a whole separate controversy, but there's a whole thing that's going on, Tom, with video games. And a lot of guys, you know, really into video games. And there's this kind of fight by these very vocal feminists that say that the video games promote this rape culture, that the women are shown as very submissive, or they're being slapped around or pushed around or whatever, and it's negative images of women or whatever. And the words are fascinating. Like, they say how a woman can feel raped. I think that's amazing. Or that something is a rapey image, or it's rapey. So in other words, you're playing with something, this game, and the woman feels raped. And that's sort of like the sexual harassment thing, where a woman says, you know, the environment at work felt sexual. It felt oppressive.
Well, I know a lot of guys who've gotten divorced, and they felt like they'd been robbed.
I think they really were. That's different.
Yes.
I have to give them a little bit more leeway than that sort of thing. But, you know, when you look at the situation where you have women who are generally sort of high-strung and emotional anyway, and women have this vindictiveness, and what we're supposed to do in our society now is that every place is supposed to be a safe space for women. So classically, let's say, you know, guys worked in certain environments. If you watch, like, I don't know, even Mad Men or whatever, you know, you have these sort of male camaraderie and telling each other dirty jokes and smoking and cursing. And now, you know, you put women there, and all of a sudden you're supposed to put the woman's feelings to be paramount. So the woman's supposed to feel comfortable, and it's supposed to be a safe space. And she can be one of the boys. And I remember, you know, back in, let's say, elementary school, playing with girls, you know, out in the schoolyard, and they would be one of the boys until someone pushed them or something. Then they'd fall, they'd scratch their knee, and they'd start crying, and they'd sort of become a girl again. And you get in trouble, you know, and the way it is now is almost the same. Where if you overlook that this woman is one of the guys, and all of a sudden she says, Hey, I can't believe you said that. I don't like, I'm offended. You know, that's another good one, right? You know, all of a sudden it escalates very quickly, and, you know, it's not a joke. Companies take this stuff very seriously. They're very scared. And in the general culture, I mean, if you're a young man and you're, you know, out there fooling around with girls, or you're going to parties or college parties or whatever, it is very, very predatory. And there is this kind of a thing where, you know, when a woman's angry, because, you know, you have sex with her and you don't call her the next day, or for you it was just, you know, nothing. And meanwhile, she was imagining, you know, that this was going to be a relationship, or that you really cared about her or whatever. There's a lot of different perspectives where you're going to walk away or whatever, and she is going to want to get some kind of vengeance and revenge. And it's a very, very powerful thing now to say this. Now, Tom, when you talk about some of the Lycus 101 stuff, for example, you know, meeting a woman, certainly going to her place, by the way, that's a very, very good idea. I think that generally speaking, when you take a woman to your place, aside from obviously her knowing where you live and all that good stuff, you know, broadly speaking, that's your domain. And in the context of her making an accusation, that you took advantage, or you put something in her drink or whatever, you know, that's going to be much more believable at your place, because you're much more in control, as opposed to if you go to her place. In her place, obviously, she's invited you to her apartment, house, whatever. That includes, you know, some kind of consent where you're not the predator anymore. You know, you've been invited to her location, so she's let you in, and she's obviously, you know, giving some kind of consent for something to happen. It can't be completely beyond her expectation. And in the context of some of these other things, I know it sounds nutty, but what you said is not so wrong. You know, having some kind of video or some kind of record, certainly other people, for example, seeing you guys together, or, you know, in the context of, you know, the night and how it progressed, that's not a joke. It's not a small thing. There is definitely a world today where people make accusations against one another, and it's extremely serious. There are definitely, what I see, you know, in terms of family law, Relationships today, for example, don't just end. It's very, very common that the woman will get a restraining order at the end of a relationship because she's angry. And we see now how when a woman makes a claim, for example, of domestic violence, that once that claim is made, it can't be undone. And this is, you know, very reminiscent to me of the false accusation against you, Tom, and some of the other things that have happened over the years to different people where, you know, the woman's pissed off. She's drunk. She says, oh, I'm going to talk to you right now. And the guy's like, you know, whatever. She calls 911, and that sets in motion a whole string of events that cannot be prevented and cannot be stopped. She then tells the police the next day or the prosecution, look, oh, it's stupid. My boyfriend or my husband and I, we got in a little fight. And the point of view of the society is there's no putting the brakes anymore because, you know, she's the victim and she has to be protected. And when you go back to there's analysis of this. There's, for example, a great writer, Christina Hoff Summers, who talks about how ridiculous all this is. You know, she gets labeled a rape apologist. And there are people out in the world that would say that about me now, which is that since I'm saying that this is stupid, what I'm doing is I'm sort of apologizing for a rapist where there's this horrible things going on out there. And when this person I mentioned, Summers, goes to speak at campuses or whatever, she gets, you know, protested and shouted down. And these are very, very unpopular views. And it's the same thing like the DUI, as I said before. You know, there's a lot of money out there that's given to these organizations. They're very dependent on it, and they start to build up these organizational structures and shelters and advocates and all this other stuff, and you see it. And I talk to lots and lots of guys who, you know, at the end of a marriage, this is not so unusual, at the end of a marriage, when, you know, you're starting to split up the furniture, you know, you and your wife, like, have sex one last time, and she sues them for rape. You know, she prosecutes, where she says, you know, I was leaving him. I already filed the papers and he forced me. And again, you know, it's just your word against hers. And there's a very great inclination in our society to treat women as victims, for women to see themselves as victims, and for women to want to be victims. You know that when a woman puts on the waterworks and starts crying, you know, there's this almost biological instinct to feel sorry for her. And to want to help her and aid her, even if she's a liar. And people overlook that possibility very often. You know, you don't want to think that this sweet little woman is lying. I saw this very interesting thing. It was from Canada. And this woman actually hired a hitman to kill her husband. And somehow the police of Canada got involved and they made like undercover recordings. So they had recordings of her meeting the who she thought was the hitman, was really a police person. It doesn't matter. And she's with this person and she's saying, you could hear it plain as day. You know, I want my husband dead and I'm going to pay X number of dollars for you to do it. And I can't wait until you do it and all that stuff. And then after she was arrested and they showed her the video, so I mean, she was dead to rights. You know, she starts crying. She's hysterical. I'm just a confused little girl. What do you want from me? Why are you doing this to me? And you could see how much sympathy she was garnering. And even her husband, who she was supposed to try to kill, felt bad for her. And the police felt bad for her. And this is a remarkable thing that happens very often as well in our society. And I'm sorry to say, considering when we talk about women being equal and liberation of women and so forth, women hold on to this with their fingernails. This is something they will never let go, that no matter how far it goes, no matter how equal they are, no matter if they're the president of the firm or whatever, they can always put on the waterworks, start crying, and say that they're victims. Now, Gary was talking in News for Guys about the lady who's heading the DEA, and she's a complete incompetent. I would really wonder how she got to be the head of the DEA. I think personally that she did not know what she was doing, and she had a lot of her appointment owing to the fact that she was a woman, and they wanted a woman at the top. And one of the reasons the DEA is going down the tubes is because it demoralized the organization that she was there as the head. If you look at it, it's the exact same thing that happened, by the way, Tom, since we're talking about the government. It's the same thing that happened with the Secret Service. They appointed a woman. and she screwed up the Secret Service. And all the years that it has existed, the Secret Service was impeccable. You never heard anything about it. They were brilliant, and they were the most capable force in the whole world, protecting the president, his family, and other diplomats and so forth. Now, scandal after scandal since a woman's been running it. Okay? And by the way, the IRS, that woman Lois Lerner, same thing. It demoralizes an organization not to put a qualified woman, that I could understand, but to put someone at the top because she's a woman and saying we're going to put a woman to run the Secret Service or the IRS or the DEA or whatever, and the mid-structure of the organization and the people that work directly in the executive areas and even all the way down to the regular agents are humiliated by that. The fact that their boss is this woman who shouldn't be there, who doesn't know what she's doing. And by the way, this woman, I think her name was Lionheart, something like that, Lionheart, she gave testimony in Congress, and she's so stupid, it's hard to even believe. One of the congressmen asked her something, you know, could you discipline this DEA agent who had gone to parties with prostitutes that were paid for by the drug cartel? And meanwhile, they left their computers and their phones and all kinds of stuff that the cartel was able to get information from them and look through them and so forth and gather intelligence. We're talking about the drug dealers that they're supposed to be going after. And she said, they asked her, can you discipline those people who did that? And she said that she doesn't have the power to do that. This is the head of the organization, okay? So it's like, lady, what are you doing here running this organization? No wonder all these things are happening on your watch because no one respects you, okay? Because everyone knows that the reason that you're here is because you were a friend of Michelle Obama rather than someone that actually rose up in the organization and actually knew what you were doing. And when you look today, Tom, in terms of how the money's being spent and how the laws are made, okay, it's not a joke. Rape is very high on the list. You don't necessarily have to have a lot of proof. You don't necessarily have to have a lot of information. And if a woman comes in and starts crying, she's hysterical, the police are listening, they're taking her information, and they are willing to press charges. And a regular guy who doesn't have a lot of money or doesn't have evidence, doesn't have his ducks in a row, did some stupid things, made some mistakes, didn't have witnesses, you know, it's not a joke. Rape, you can serve, you know, 10, 20 years. And it's something that, you know, when you're sitting there with the woman in the morning and she's like, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that, whatever, you know, and she turns, you know, I think you kind of forced me, you know, I don't know, I feel rapey, you know, I feel sexually harassed. It's like, are you serious? And then all of a sudden, once she goes down that road and starts saying it, repeating it, she can't take it back anymore. It's too late. And when it starts to be with the prosecution, as I've said, in the context of domestic violence, even if she wants to stop it, she can't. That's unbelievable. And people end up destroying their lives over this nonsense. And we have a completely out of control situation. Now, in all seriousness, as much as I like the idea, like you say in Lycus 101, meeting a woman, taking her home, taking her to going to her place, whatever, fooling around with her and never talking to her again, the truth is that's very, very risky. And it might actually be logical to record it or to use your phone to tape this, at least the audio, or to have her sign something. I know it sounds bananas. I mean, it's the most unsexy thing you can think of. But the truth of the matter is, you know, to do it just raw is such a big risk. And when I think about someone like you, Tom, and you know, most of our listeners are like this, but, you know, someone who's high profile, someone who has a really good job, you know, someone who's recognizable, that really makes you an even bigger target, where a woman's thinking, you know, this is a whale. I can threaten this guy and get cash out of him. And I'm sorry to say, but I think today relationships are very, very predatory, and I think that's how women are thinking. Women are thinking, I can get stuff from this guy. I can get him to buy me a car. If you look at what happened with that Don Sterling, who owned the Clippers, I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know how this stupid, stupid woman got, what, a Bentley and a Ferrari? she has to give it all back now because of the wife sued her and all. But did you see the list of shit that she got? It's unbelievable. I mean, it's amazing that this guy was writing checks like that. But, you know, you see how there's a different mentality in terms of, you know, I guess romantically speaking, one would hope a woman is out seeking love and you know, lasting friendship and respect and, you know, maybe someday having a relationship or a family with a man, when in fact what she's thinking about is the bottom line. What can I get? What am I going to be given, and what power can I wield as a woman over him by crying, by claiming I'm the victim, by making false charges? And this all is programmed into it today.
Let's talk a bit about, we were talking earlier about taking video of you getting consent.
Pretty kinky like there, Tom.
Well, I understand. But what about text messages?
Yeah.
Many times before you go out with someone, especially in the Tinder age, many people do a lot of sexting online.
Yes.
Is that a good idea to keep all of that in case it becomes pertinent?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something. I know a case of, it's actually a lawyer that I know, who got into some kind of a crazy thing where a woman made accusations against him of sexual harassment. And there were messages that he had erased on Facebook, and he tried to get them out of Facebook. In other words, he made a subpoena to the company Facebook to try to get stuff out of their archives, and it was a big deal. They didn't want to do it, you know? So like you say, Tom, it's a very good idea if you're sexting or whatever you're doing, and that's not a bad idea to do that, is to keep them. Okay, so later on when the woman starts saying some nonsense that, oh, it's a, I didn't want to or whatever, you can have these very dirty sexts where she was saying, you know, oh, I want you to, you know, do me dirty, you know, nasty, whatever. And that would show that she actually was on that wavelength and that she was giving you some kind of consent. There's no doubt about it. I think that's a very good idea. And, you know, in terms of video recording and so forth, again, you know, there's this thing called the bad ear. Generally speaking, means that, you know, if it's like the undercover, like reporter, if you're the one recording, then you're there and you're doing a recording, that's okay to do because you were actually present and you violated the other person's privacy, but they already were with you, so it was your own recording. You know, they're talking nowadays, particularly in these things with all these claims against the police, where they're going to put these dash cams on the police cars, and they're going to have the police officers wear what I'm talking about, which is essentially a body camera. You know, the price of these memory things, you know, everything when I was younger used to be these tapes and whatnot and these big videotapes, and they were made smaller eventually, but they were still these pretty bulky things. And now, because flash memory is so inexpensive, you know, for $50, you can buy this, you know, 64 gigabytes, which is just gigantic. And that's the storage of those GoPros and other kinds of cameras and these pens and whatnot that I mentioned. So now you can record hours and hours and hours. It's not a terrible idea. I mean, maybe for your own, you know, whatever satisfaction watching the video, but it's also smart maybe to have it just to show how the woman, you know, led you into her house, into her bedroom, and she said, I want you to, you know, do me really hard, daddy, or whatever, you know, because that shows consent. And when you talk about these rules for the college students, it's so bizarre. And but when a woman makes these accusations, you know, the guys get banned from the campus. They get thrown out of all their classes. Then, you know, a couple of weeks or months later, they have the first hearing. And then, you know, all of a sudden, maybe they're going to do us a favor and let the guy finish the semester. But the way the accusation rolls out is the woman is automatically believed. It has catastrophic consequences for the guy. And then later on, it's like not America anymore. He's guilty first, and then he has to prove that he's innocent. And so on some level, you know, these campus things are saying that you got to start getting signed consents or whatever. I know it's crazy, but, you know, these sorts of things are going to actually start happening. And the idea, I think, perhaps, Tom, of meeting a woman and having sex with her in the first meeting is probably also not a very good idea. I mean,
well, I don't think it's a good idea to have sex with someone who goes to the same college you do, in California especially. Well, I think that's a bad idea.
I agree with you, but what's the reality? If you're on that campus most of the time, or I don't know if you live on campus or nearby or whatever, who are you going to be running into, do you think? That you're going to meet a girl from campus, right?
Well, it depends. If you're in Boston, for example, there are several different colleges in the area. You could certainly meet people at bars in town who go to other schools.
Right.
I'll tell you what, with the law that's been signed in California, the no means no or whatever it's called.
It's literally called yes means yes.
Oh, yes means yes. There's no way that I would have sex with somebody on the same college campus.
Very interesting.
Who goes to the same school. I wouldn't. No way.
That's interesting. That's hard to avoid, probably. But I see what you mean. When you talk about a college town like Boston, right? So you've got Boston College, Boston University, Harvard, you have whatever. So the idea is that you would try to meet people that didn't go to your school so that they wouldn't necessarily apply to these things.
That's what I would do, unless you live in a town where there's one school, like you're in Madison, Wisconsin, and there's one school in town.
Right.
I don't know what you do, but in California, you know, I tell you what, if I'm a student at USC, maybe I go to Loyola Marymount to pick up chicks.
Right. Very interesting idea. I also have to say, Tom, seriously, I would really be surprised that it would be any logic whatsoever in terms of really going hardcore like it's 101. Where you meet a woman and have sex with her the first time, you know, on the first day. I think that's not a good idea. It seems to me that you have to meet someone, you have to be with them when they're sober and have sex with them after that. Because what they're talking about now is that any woman who's intoxicated can't give meaningful consent. And the law is gearing further and further towards that. Now, if you look at women, I mean, the whole consenting to sex thing is actually very often very much linked to alcohol. And that's something that, you know, classically, you don't want a woman to be drunk, but you want her to have a little bit of booze in her to, you know, kind of knock off her inhibitions. But then the problem is that one of her friends is going to say, oh, you know, Johnny kept giving her drinks, and that's how he got her to say yes. And that's the problem, because that sort of invalidates it. And considering her being vindictive and stupid, the next morning or the next day or the next week, she can turn around and say, oh, you know, I never said yes. I can't believe he did that to me. You know, I was so drunk, I didn't know what I was doing. And we do that thing where, you know, we say a woman's an equal and she's an adult, and then all of a sudden she's not an adult anymore, and she's a moron worthy of protection and a child that has to be shielded and protected. So we kind of play it both ways. You know, this thing that I mentioned about spring break, there were a couple of girls that supposedly got raped on the beach or whatever. But then, again, these are girls that were doing crazy things. They were taking different kinds of drugs. They were getting knocked out. They were with guys that they didn't know very well. You know, they always tell girls, for example, to stay in pairs or whatever. Here is a girl where one of the girlfriends split with some guy or went to some party and left the other girl alone. She's from some other place. She didn't know what she was doing. And then she just got preyed upon by some guy who, you know, supposedly took advantage of the poor little virgin. And you see how that sort of shifts. You know, instead of calling her a grown woman and an adult woman, all of a sudden she's a little girl. She was, you know, virginal, and she was stupid and innocent. And she didn't know what she was doing. And this big, husky, nasty black guy, you know, made her do nasty things. And, you know, this is a very serious issue because, you know, in my field, I have to defend these guys. And I talk to them, and the guys tell me, you know, she was begging for it. She told me she wanted to. And it's like, you know, that's nice. That's what you say. And that's the problem. That's this issue of, you know, kind of he said and she said. And when you look at how the culture, as I said before, plays this double game with us, it's very, very tough. When you talk about the workplace, you know, Tom, when I remember when you were over in the CBS days, that you were saying you didn't want to work with any women, you didn't want any women around at all.
Right.
It was like you and Gary and whoever else, you know. And you were even off campus. You actually had your own place separate from the main studio and so forth. And I think this even before I met you, I remember saying, well, this Lycus guy is, you know, extreme, you know, he's crazy. Why is he doing that? And you have this studio and, you know, I know Frosty and Heidi and Adam Carolla, everyone's walking around, but not Tom Lycus. He's got his own separate studio. And, you know, in retrospect, I think you were absolutely right. You know, when you're controversial and you're saying the kinds of things you're saying, you don't know that this secretary who's, you know, laughing about it and thinks it's funny is suddenly going to turn on you, you know? And she was playing like she was one of the guys, and now all of a sudden she's suing the company. And she's talking about this nonsense with the hostile work environment and that it was rapey and she felt raped. I cannot begin to explain how ridiculous it is to say that. I can't believe that any adult, mature woman with a straight face says, blah, 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 and this happened and that happened, and I felt I had been raped. What the fuck does that mean? How dare you say that? What is wrong with you? When you think about the trauma of a woman who really does get raped, okay? Or a young woman that, for example, gets, I don't know, sexually assaulted by a relative or molested or whatever. For a woman to talk about a dirty joke she didn't like, that she felt she was raped, it's nauseating. It's twisted. Because it's her being so childish and stupid and overreacting, you know. We all know these words. We all know what the jokes are. You know, for someone to suddenly go, oh, I'm so offended and I'm a Christian and I can't believe you said that. Give me a break, you know. Come on. If you can't handle it, you need to stay home, okay? If you're going to be in the office, if you're going to be in the factory, you're going to be with the boys, okay? And you're going to play like one of the boys, and we're supposed to treat you as an equal, you suddenly can't get offended. There's a very interesting case, Tom, of a very, very big company in New York. It was one of the stock brokerage companies. And they had this group that was like the highest of the high levels in this company that did mergers and acquisitions. And they had completed something very, very important to them. And there was only one woman in the group, and she was considered a financial genius. And the boss, who was like the chairman of the company, completed this thing. He gave everyone a very big bonus, and then he went there and shook their hands and gave them a hug. And he did this through the whole group. It was like 10 or 12 people, and one of them was this woman. And he shook her hand and gave her a hug, just like he did to the other guys, and he was, you know, telling everyone how much he appreciated them. Well, she sued the company, and she said that, you know, when he hugged her, she felt his penis or whatever through his clothes, and it offended her, and she was humiliated, and she felt that she had been raped, remember that? And she ended up getting a multi-zillion dollar, you know, judgment against the company for sexual harassment. Now, he did to her exactly what he did to the other guys. And it wasn't some fraternity hazing thing or something ridiculous. It wasn't like, you know, doing something stupid, making them swallow goldfish. I mean, he hugged her and hugged the other guys. This is what they did when they were, like, you know, handing out this big bonus because they had done this great project. You know, in a way, what you said, Tom, is really right. I'd be afraid to work with women. It's only to their own discredit. I have to tell you, Tom, this is a personal example, but, you know, I'm very, very tough with the other lawyers that I deal with on the other side. And, you know, I fight for my clients very, very hard. And, you know, if the other lawyer is a woman, I treat her the same. I give her a hard time. And recently, I've got this particular one woman lawyer, and she starts telling me that I'm a bully. And that she feels assaulted, and she feels that I'm attacking her, and she's afraid. And we actually had a court hearing, and instead of coming to court, she did it over the phone. Isn't that amazing, Tom? I don't know if you know this, but there's...
Seriously?
Yeah, there's this thing called court call. And sometimes if you're a lawyer and, like, you can't get to the hearing, or it's too far away, or you got too many things at once, you can do this thing where you pay this extra thing, and you appear in court by speakerphone. Now, this lawyer happened to be very, very closely located to where the court was. So she's doing the speakerphone thing, and it was like, what? Why are you doing that? And she told the judge, I'm afraid to come to court. I can't face Mr. Sachs because he has sexually harassed me and bullied me. Okay? And, you know, I don't know if you know this, Tom, but the woman very often who claims to be sexually harassed is a very ugly woman. You know, the I've seen this even on television. They portray this big fat girl.
Right, she's the one that nobody would sexually harass on a bet.
Not in a million years, okay? But she wishes for it in a way. And so she has this really handsome boss, and she starts claiming that, you know, oh, the poor guy wants her so bad, you know, and he's been begging her to have sex for years and harassing her. And now, of course, you know, she rebuffed his advances because, you know, the poor thing couldn't handle him, you know, bothering her sexually all this time. And so he just kept insisting and insisting, and finally she had to press charges. You know, it was only the right thing to do so that he stops doing it to other girls also in the future. And so this lawyer is telling the judge that she's petrified of my incessant sexual demands in the context of me bullying her on the case, so much so that she had to appear at our hearing by phone. So... there you go. I mean, what the hell? You know, why not?
Wow.
Now, in that case, you know, I can laugh about it. It's a joke. But, you know, when you talk about guys being put in the position that they're really afraid or they're going to lose their job, and it would be something for you to be at a company for years and years and to have reached some kind of success, and some bitch says that, you know, you grabbed her on the ass or whatever, you made a dirty joke. And you know what? Maybe you did. that's the joke of jokes. Who cares? It's nothing. It's stupid. And she was laughing and everyone was laughing. But then this is the thing that we do for women. We let her go home and think about it. And then she realizes once she goes home and thinks about it, how offended she truly was. And now all of a sudden, you know, your career is getting thrown away down the toilet.
Jesus. All right, we have to take a break here. Because we have not taken a break for like 45 minutes.
All right, well,
so
I had something important to say.
Understood. We're going to take a break here. Thank you. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with phone calls for Adam Sachs, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. This is free legal advice for you folks. So if you have a legal question, if you have a DUI hanging over your head or a drug possession or you want something expunged from your record, Adam could do these things. He can answer these questions. But you got to call him right now at this number. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. Talk to Adam Sachs right now at 901-3000-866.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and can tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry, you're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big, bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the New Normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, we're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. at 901-3000-866. Let's say hi to Kevin in Anaheim. Kevin, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
And hi, Adam. Hey, I have a question, Adam.
Sure.
This is kind of a it's a realistic question. It's also a hypothetical question. Like, if we follow your advice about the DUI stuff, so let's say, like, you have, like, one or two beers and you're driving home and a cop suspects that he pulls you over, he suspects that you're DUI, and you follow everything to what you tell us to do, to reject the breathalyzer, field sobriety, everything like that. But we go to do the blood test. What happens to our vehicle in that scenario? Like, do they have a right to tow it right then and there? Obviously, they don't want you to drive home, too, because they're suspecting that you're DUI or drive to the hospital. Like, what happens legally to your vehicle?
Right. I understand that that sounds really important, and a lot of people emphasize that. If you think about it, the truth is that's the least of your problems, okay? If you're thinking long-term, having a DUI on your record, the cost of hiring an attorney for a DUI, dealing with a trial, dealing with a criminal conviction, losing your driver's license, that's the big ticket. Getting your car towed is minor. Now, generally speaking, well, so you got to get it in perspective. I got a lot of people that get very emphasized on that issue, and that's really not the issue. Now, broadly speaking, like I said, the police have discretion. And like I said, again, when you're saying no to the breathalyzer and you're saying no to some of the other stuff, you don't want to be an asshole. But at the same time, you know the cops are not your friends and their job is to get you convicted. Now, broadly speaking, a lot of people, if you're reasonable with the cop and you say, look, can I just park my car, whatever, let's say, you know, generally if there's like, let's say a shopping center nearby or there's something like that, very often the cops will take the car or move the car and they'll let you put the car on the side of the road or in a shopping center or let you call one of your friends to come get the car so that it doesn't have to be towed. Cops know that that's expensive, and if you ask them politely, very often they'll cut you a break. If the cop, on the other hand, is a dick and he doesn't like you or he wants to, you know, have a hard-on for you, yes, he can definitely have it towed, and that's going to end up costing you, you know, God knows, $300 or $400 even more bucks, plus storage or whatever.
Even if, like, if the cop, let's say in a scenario, is a dick and he does tow your car and he takes you for the blood test and you come back under the 0.8 number, do they have to release your vehicle free of charge?
No,
or like,
no, see, that's the unfairness. And in fact, I've had clients even say that to me. Leave the test because you're not going to get the results of the blood test right away. But I have cases where we go to court and I get the whole thing dismissed, right? Which is what you wanted in the first place. And meanwhile, you've been inconvenienced. You were in jail. You had to pay all kinds of expenses. You had to pay for legal expenses. And then on top of it, you pay the towing. And the guy says to me, I was found innocent. Why should I have to pay the tow? The cop should pay that back to me. And that's not true. The truth is that you're still going to have to pay it. It's not fair. It's cruel. You know, when they accuse you, it's a big deal. And in the context of it, I'm telling you, the couple hundred bucks that you have to pay for the towing is minor by comparison. And the whole DUI thing is something you want to try to avoid in the first place.
All right, of course. That was probably my only question. I don't have any DUIs on me or anything like that, but I was just always curious. Like, I'll have a beer or hang out and have a beer or drink and go home, and I really believe that,
with the fact that we have Uber now, there's no excuse.
Yeah, no, that's true, too. But I take your advice to heart, too, about, you know, like, the breathalyzers fail, they're not accurate. So I was just curious of that, like, middle time of, like, if we follow everything, what happens to your vehicle.
I appreciate it. What gets me is a lot of guys like you know what to do, and I talk to them all the time where they say, I listen to your show, I love your show, I always listen to your advice, but then when they do get pulled over for a DUI, they're doing the breath test, they're doing the field sobriety test, and I'm saying, why did you do that? And they say, well, the cop told me I had to. Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not true. And you know that the police are allowed. Yeah, the police are allowed to lie to you. I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah. If you ever watch like an episode of Cops, that's all these guys do on Cops is just self-incriminate themselves the whole time.
That's why I say shut up.
Well, thank you, Adam. Mikey, can you take me out? Can you take me out, Larry King style or Larry King style new
Larry
normal
King
music
style.
Promo?
We have that mic.
Larry King, you mean the crank calls? I'm trying to think of.
We have that collection.
Yeah, whenever I'm smoking weed, I listen to normal music. All I can say is when I'm not taking calls from people, there's nothing I like more than listening to some of my favorite indie pop and indie rock, okay? So the next time you're smoking weed or doing acid or shrooms, do what I do. Listen to new normal music.
How did I miss that?
I forgot about that. The listeners remember more than I do.
Mikey's got
a
mole.
901-3000, Tom, is our telephone number. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with more Adam Sachs, and you'll find out how to get in touch with Adam. And we've got more calls for Adam as we continue. Don't go anywhere.
Serving the universe from an old laundromat in Burbank. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslow Insurance. COSTLO. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslow since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslow. Well, you know, I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills. And it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslow has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com today. Coslow. COSTLO.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino show. Especially when they're talking donkey sex.
I told you to jerk him off slowly. He's looking for a cigarette now. It's over. Can't you see how you fucked us up? How many times you twist while you're jerking them off?
17 minutes past the hour now. It's the Iris in the Morning program. Well, you know the wetbacks do that all the time when they can't get their hands on actual cock. They go right for the donkey.
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
You know, the mules are hung even bigger than those Negro.
The Gary and Dino Show.
Warner now with sports.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. You know, daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait till the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge cash every single day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. You know, last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day just playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. And now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now, enter promo code TOM101 and play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code TOM101 for free entry now at DraftKings.com. You got that? DraftKings.com. Use promo code TOM101 at DraftKings.com.
Have a time.
The Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call toll free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website online, www.adamlawyer.com, and send me an email, which I love, and I answer them personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, Jay in Palmdale, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? Appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, Adam, Jay, how are you?
I just had a quick question, wanted your advice.
Sure.
Basically, truck driver, 10 years, and I got a DUI. And I was just wondering if you, your opinion, you think I should try and fight it or really high.
You don't have to convince me. I think you have to fight it. Now, when you talk about being a professional driver like yourself, and this is not only true of DUIs, which are the most serious, but even the regular things, just speeding tickets and so forth, as a professional driver, you have to fight it. They changed the rules a few years ago. Your average driver who, you know, gets a speeding ticket can go in, plead guilty, and once every year and a half, you can do traffic school, and it erases it. So you're obviously inconvenienced. You're paying some fines, but it doesn't end up being a point, and it doesn't affect your driver's license and so forth. Well, they cracked down on commercial drivers, and you guys got a really bum deal where no matter what the story is, there is no traffic school for you. And so if you plead guilty to a speeding ticket even or anything else like that, that's going to be something that hurts your commercial license. And in particular, a DUI, which is much more serious, you could, you know, lose your license in general. What's your company's policy about DUIs?
Yeah, they already terminated me.
See? I mean, wait, so let me hear this now. You've been terminated from your company just for getting the accusation, not even for, you know, being found guilty.
That's correct.
I mean, isn't that crazy? You know, isn't the United States supposed to be innocent until proven guilty? Now, in all fairness, I don't know the story, but you've just been accused. You haven't gone to court yet, and they already terminated you? That's nonsense. That's not right.
Yeah, the whole thing is with the Class A, you know, you lose it automatically for 1 year, so that's why the termination.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I can fight on the Class A at the beginning within 10 days of the DUI arrest to keep your license while it's pending. I don't know if you missed that. But what I was talking about was your company terminating you. That's really unfair. You know, you're working for them, and at this point, you haven't been convicted. You've only been accused. And an accusation, you know, you're presumed innocent. So I think it's very important to fight the DUI. And for you, on top of the just general charge of a DUI and having a criminal conviction on your record, this is obviously going to affect your livelihood. When you talk about any kind of job where driving is involved, even if you're not a professional commercial driver, but, I mean, just, you know, being any kind of anything where companies expect you as a salesman, for example, to drive or whatever, you can't have a DUI. That's just basically incompatible with your job. And so I always ask people, you know, are you just a student or is this a big deal for you when they get a DUI? And I would fight them. I've been very successful over the years in getting them dismissed and getting them reduced to other things or whatever. And for someone like you, that's only 10 times more relevant because of your commercial license and your job. So definitely, you know, get in touch with me after the show and we'll fight it, of course.
All right, man. I appreciate your opinion and advice. Thanks
for
a lot,
sure.
Tom. And
Adam. All right, Jay, hang on there. I'm going to have Dean put you in touch with Adam. So you guys should talk this out. Good call. Thank you. 901-3000, Tom. John in Houston. You're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Tom and Adam, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm well. I was interested in your topic earlier when you're talking about, you know, having the pen that records
right
an interaction or whatever. And I've been thinking about putting some security cameras in my house. And you know, there's been some articles in the news lately about the revenge porn and things like that.
Right.
And I was wondering what you thought about if you put, like, some boilerplate language sign on your front door.
The way a bank does, right?
And you have the copyright, you come in, your consent and all that.
Yeah, I don't think that that's really going to make a difference. That's a good idea. You know, classically, the closed-circuit camera in your house was facing outward, you know. You were recording who was at the door or who was coming down the driveway or who was in the backyard. But you see how the cameras are now facing inside the house. And
right.
People are thinking about that. We're talking about, obviously, some of the reality shows. I was reading nowadays that if you're in a big city like New York or London downtown areas, you know, you are being recorded again and again by literally hundreds and hundreds of cameras. And you know perfectly well that when you go into a bank or a casino or even regular department stores or whatever, you know, they're recording everything because cameras are so inexpensive and they're concerned about security and shoplifting and all these kinds of things. It is perfectly reasonable, I think, for you to have cameras inside your house, you know, aiming at, you know, the interior. I don't think you need to post anything to your guests. It's at their own risk. What you're talking about is absolutely true, however, which is that whole revenge porn thing. I think if you take a video of a woman doing, you know, compromising sexual stuff with you, whatever, that would be one thing to have that video and to use it as protection for yourself if she ever makes a false claim of rape or whatever. On the other hand, posting it on the internet without her consent, or posting naked pictures of her without her consent, that's a whole different story. That's something I would not get involved in. That is something where she obviously could sue you or claim some of these criminal charges under these revenge porn things. And that's something that you definitely should not do, even if she is your enemy. There were some websites where people were trading these things. I think there were pictures maybe that the woman had consented to, you know, where, when they were happy and they were dating, the guy took pictures of her naked or whatever, and then they were being posted or whatever. And obviously, you know, for the woman involved, if that ends up getting on the internet, you know, that's very humiliating, obviously. Look what happened to Dr. Laura, you know. And in the end, those pictures can be traced back to you. You could definitely get in a lot of trouble. So if you're going to do the pen thing or the internal cameras of your house or whatever, I would just, you know, keep it under wraps. I wouldn't be posting it, even if it was funny or whatever.
Right, right. I'm not interested in posting anything.
Yeah.
It's just more the legal defense.
There was a guy lately who was had this website or something where he was posting the stuff of women, and then they had to pay him to take it down, and he was trying to make a business out of that. He ended up getting, what, 15 years or something, Gary?
Right.
I remember this on News for Guys. He ended up going to jail for quite some time. So be careful.
All right.
Gotta love it,
thanks,
Tom.
All right, John. Thank you. All right, Adam, tell everybody again how they can reach you.
You can call me at toll-free 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. www.adamlawyer.com. I'm on Facebook, of course, and you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Now, if you're listening to a replay of the show, or if you're listening to us on demand, Adam is here live for a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. You can call in for free legal advice every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
You know it!
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
Better believe it.
Beer Magazine, a judge has told Sherry Shepherd she is the mother. And she didn't want to be.
Right. She was trying to get out of this, and bad news for her.
This is a crazy situation. That Sherry Shepherd is that fat broad that used to be on The View, right?
Something like TV show.
Something like that.
Where a bunch of women make fun of stuff.
Yeah. What'd they do? They used a surrogate or something?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And therefore, this woman carried a child, and the DNA matched Ms. Shepherd.
Yes.
And this is what all guys go through, only now it's our friend, Sherry Shepherd.
Yeah, so it's crazy. She wanted to basically just walk away from the show, Ross. And
Lamar
said no fucking way.
Right. And our friend in Pennsylvania, the judge, said, sorry, you are the mother.
Lamar says he's ecstatic with the ruling and wants her to go on television and apologize the same way she went on there and accused him of being a gold digger and tricking her into having a child.
This is so amazing.
It's
the
awesome.
Roles are reversed. Completely.
Completely.
Only
reversed.
The sad thing is this is just one case.
It's very, very sad.
It's terrible. Yeah, this is an example of, you know, what guys go through all the time, only it's happening to Sherry Shepherd, and our friend Lamar got what he wanted, and the Pennsylvania court agreed.
Yeah. And that Nick Loeb thing is getting more and more interesting, too. He and Sofia Vergara, I guess she put a couple of eggs away, right?
She did. They had the eggs together, fertilized eggs, and good old Nick. By the way, I had thought at first this might be a money grab. Turns out Nick is loaded. So yeah. This is crazy.
He just wants the children.
He really wants the children. And Nick is suing Sophia, claiming that she wants to destroy the embryos and because she's moved on. She's with another dude now, an Italian, and she's moved on from our friend.
I see.
But the Lobster, he wants just the children's. It's money that he does not want. And basically, this is like the gift that keeps on giving. He can have these children's. And still be connected to her in some way.
Your boy says that he created these two female embryos with the purpose of taking them to term and not destruction, because I've always dreamed of being a father, he says.
Right. It's Nick, is through his lawyer, of course, says Nick is not seeking to impose any parental obligations on the egg donor, financial or otherwise, and believes that the sanctity of life, his interest in achieving parenthood, and his desire to bring daughters to term outweighs any interest in the egg donor may have in destroying the embryos. So it turns out our friend wants the children.
He does indeed. The two escorts in Warren Sapp's Phoenix hotel room told police it wasn't some kind of big old naked dance party. Warren was aggressive, violent, and apparently tackled the girls when they tried to leave.
Well, do they not know that he's a football player?
Look at these two. Brittany Osborne, and go ahead and pronounce her first name, Boyd's first name. Queuing?
Oh, my God.
Q-U-Y-I-N-G.
Wait a minute. This is... These
Quing?
Are the,
what?
Quying.
Quying?
Why are you
crying?
Why are you crying?
Stop you crying.
Why are you crying? Simpson's going to use that. Brittany Osborne and Crying Boyd, these are the two that our friend laid out $800.
Questionable.
He paid $800 bucks for these two.
Crazy.
By the way, I'd vote for a package check on both of them.
Oh, shit.
We might have to check that out.
That's some rough shit right there.
Boyd looks like a boy, and Osborne looks like Ozzy Osborne. This whole thing is a disaster. Look at them.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Sharon!
A pick alert for you. It's another Selena Gomez bikini day, and definitely packing on a little poundage.
But
this time wearing super tight shorts, just camel toe, like more than anybody can handle it.
Right. Yeah. She is making a statement that she's all grown up. And she's getting bigger in all the departments.
Is there any reason to be wedging the shorts into the vagina like that?
I mean, hasn't she had a hell of a week to begin with? Honestly, what is our girl taking?
Just go ahead and pull that wedge out, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Because it's really, I don't know if
she
flattering.
Doesn't, I would like to.
Would you taste?
Yeah. She was with her friend Bieber,
right.
So that's
so
always hurts.
Stay away from that. Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary Andino.
Simpson's going to use that.
Check out the podcast. GaryAndino.com is where you find it.
Why are you crying?
This is a brand new podcast. Every single Friday, it's GaryAndino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today and enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over 30 bucks. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.
Fuck you, you English cunt.